Hi, and thank you for downloading this podcast from Millpool Hill Church, Alcester Road, Birmingham. My name is Richard Pidgley, and I'm the lead pastor at the church. Today I'd like to talk to you about a love that never gives up. A love that never gives up. The world has seen many amazing love stories. There's Antony and Cleopatra. Romeo and Juliet. How about Shrek and Princess Fiona? Or even Danny and Sandy from the hit musical Grease? Yes, many, many love stories have emerged over the years, many of them touching our hearts, making us feel sad, maybe making us feel glad or warm and fuzzy inside. But there's something special about a love story, isn't there? Some years back, a beautiful New England girl called Alice had just got engaged to Edward, a handsome young man with a promising career in journalism. When the American Civil War broke out, they went through a very tough time. Edward, along with hundreds of other men, was called into the army, so their wedding had to be postponed. Edward was a skilled writer, and so he wrote to Alice as much as possible, describing his army life and, more importantly, his great love for the young lady and how much he was looking forward to their wedding and life together after the war. Then on the 5th of May 1864, Edward found himself fighting at the Battle of the Wilderness. This was the first battle of Lieutenant General Ulysses S. Grant fighting against Robert E. Lee and the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia. Both armies suffered very heavy casualties, including poor Edward, who was severely wounded and had been taken to a field hospital close by. Edward had lost his arms and could no longer write to his beloved Alice. Although Edward's letters stopped coming, Alice, not knowing of his condition, read and reread his letters, holding on to every word and hoping for the best. Finally, Alice received a letter from Edward, but it had been written in unfamiliar handwriting. It read, "There has been another terrible battle. I have lost both my arms, and I cannot write myself, so a friend is writing this letter for me. While you are as dear to me as ever, I feel I should release you from the obligation of our engagement." Alice never answered the letter. Instead, she took the next train going directly to where her fiancé was being cared for. The place was heaving with men who had been severely wounded. With the mutilated bodies and cries of pain, it was a place found in one's worst nightmares. Despite the confused state of the overcrowded field hospital, a sympathetic captain gave Alice directions to her fiancé's cot. Tearfully, she searched for him, and when she finally found him, she was shocked to see his arms had been amputated. He had been wounded terribly and looked desperately ill, a shadow of the former handsome man she had agreed to marry just a few months ago. Yet her love for him had not diminished, and she threw her arms around his neck and kissed him, saying, "I will never give you up. These hands of mine will help you. I will always love you and take care of you." Life can be tough. And at times it can seem cruel and very unfair. You see, the truth is, you may feel isolated, unfairly treated by others, battered, bruised and crushed by life's cruel circumstances. You may feel that you are like damaged goods that nobody wants, similar to Edward, the young wounded soldier. But God says to you, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Sometimes we make choices that actually are very damaging to us. Sometimes we make choices to run away, as it were, from God. Sometimes we make bad choices that bring consequences that are hurtful, damaging, and distressing into our lives. Jesus told a story once about a father who had two sons. The younger son was fed up with living at home, fed up with living with his dad and older brother and all the rules associated with the household. And he had heard about a far off land where he could go and where people had lots of fun and there were parties and all sorts of amazing things happening. And so the young man went to his dad one day and said, "Dad, can I have my share of the inheritance?" It was like saying, "Dad, I wish you'd drop dead so I can have the money now." The father was disappointed, probably quite hurt by the son's request. But because he loved his son and wanted his son to make his own choices in life, the father gave him half of the inheritance, and the young man promptly took the money and left home. He went as far away from his father as possible. And there in this wild, far-out land, he had parties and spent his money on wild, riotous living. But Jesus said soon the young man's money ran out. And soon the people that were friendly with him when he had the money also ran out on him. He was left alone. Nobody cared for him. Nobody bothered about him. And soon he was ragged and ruined. The consequences of bad choices. The young man was so desperate he took a job. It was feeding pigs in the field. Kind of job nobody else wanted to take. Yet it was the only job available, and without that job he wouldn't have any food or any shelter. And so he took the job, and some time into the job he began to reflect on the choices he'd made. He realised he had been foolish. He'd made some selfish, sinful choices in running away from home and wasting his dad's money. He said to himself, "This is crazy. If I was a servant in my father's house, I would have shelter and better food than I'm feeding the pigs. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and say, 'Dad, I'm sorry. I've made a big mistake. I've made some bad choices. I've sinned against heaven and against you. Please, will you make me a servant in your house?'" So the young man got up and he walked the long journey home. And as he neared the house, the father, who was waiting daily, longing and looking for his lost son, saw his son coming. Nobody else recognised the young lad because he was ragged and ruined, but the father recognised him instantly. This was his beloved son. And the father ran down the lane and went to greet his son. And when his father approached the son, the young man said, "Dad, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm sorry for making a mess of everything, for wasting your finance and for all the stuff I've done. I'm so sorry." And before he could say, "Make me a hired servant in your household," the father gave him a great big bear hug, a daddy hug, squeezing all the air out of him so the young man could say nothing else. And the father said, "Son, you were lost, but now you are found. It was like you were dead, but now you are alive. Come on, you're welcome back home. We're going to have a big party to celebrate the fact that you've come back." Maybe you've made bad choices. Maybe you feel damaged by the consequences of those choices. Maybe you feel hurt and disillusioned and in a far off place away from God. But I tell you something. God says to you today, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Even though you've made some bad choices, God says, "I still love you." How amazing is that? Thomas Matteson, another young man who was in love, had sadly gone blind, and his fiancée, unlike Alice, decided she could no longer love and marry him because she did not want a blind man as her husband. At this sad time, Thomas, a devout Christian, wrote these beautiful words that became a well-known hymn. "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean's depths its flow may richer, fuller be." Thomas, although greatly saddened by his fiancée's decision to leave him, understood that God's great love for us will never ever let us go. Despite the mess humankind has got itself in, God could not let go. That's why Jesus comes to us, the Son of God, just like the young woman in the story. Jesus comes to us and embraces us despite the terrible mess we may be in. Sin is living without God in our lives, and it messes us up. Sin may not disfigure our outside, but it stains and spoils our heart and character, and sin separates us from God. But God loves us so much, he wasn't prepared to let us go. And so that's why Jesus, the Son of God, came. And so Jesus comes to us, even now, bringing the Father's love, bringing the Father's forgiveness, bringing healing and peace to our souls, bringing a joy that this world cannot give or take away, and giving us a purpose for life and a deep assurance of the hope of heaven. One of the greatest verses in the Bible is found in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, that's a real love story, and you are part of it. The greatest love, personal, unconditional, and eternal. God loves you with the greatest love. It's the greatest sacrifice. For Jesus was wounded for us at Calvary. The greatest sacrifice because Jesus came and he allowed himself to be crucified upon a cross. Why? So that through his death we could be forgiven and restored back to God. The greatest invitation, eternal, abundant life at no cost to us. Jesus invites us to the greatest kind of life. He says, "I've come that you might have life in all its abundance." A real love story. For God so loved the world that he gave us the best gift of all, his only Son, so that everyone, that can include you today, who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Somebody once said, "You ain't nobody until somebody loves you." Well, today you need to understand you are totally loved. You are somebody. You are unique and precious to God. You may feel broken, battered, and bruised by stuff that's happened to you. You may have run away from God, seeking life without him, but failing in your search. And now you feel lost, empty, and disillusioned with life altogether. But God says to you, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." So stop running from God. Be like the prodigal son in Jesus' story. Make three decisions. Repent. Turn from your wrongdoing. Stop living for the pleasures of sin. That's just for a short season. And begin to live for God. Return to your heavenly Father. And receive his love and forgiveness. And be renewed with a new life in Jesus. Sometimes it helps when we're ready to make this decision to ask Christ to help us, to save us, to restore us to the Father. Sometimes it helps just to say a little prayer similar to this. "Dear Heavenly Father, I am so sorry that I've been living my life without you. I am sorry for my sinful and selfish choices. And I choose today to want to live a different kind of life. And so I choose to repent, to turn from these attitudes and come back to you. I believe that you love me so much that you sent Christ to die for me upon the cross so that I could be forgiven and given eternal life. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you into my life, into my heart, to be my Lord and my Saviour. Help me to begin to live life now with you, loving you and putting you first. Amen." The world indeed has many romantic and wonderful love stories, but the greatest love story of all is God's love for you.